The Confessions of Arsène Lupin by Maurice Leblanc. Narrated by Paul Sperra. The Invisible Prisoner. One day, at about 4 o'clock, as evening was drawing in, Farmer Goussot, with his 4 sons, returned from a day's shooting. They were stalwart men, all 5 of them, long of limb, broad-chested, with faces tanned by sun and wind. And all 5 displayed, planted on an enormous neck and shoulders, the same small head, with the low forehead, thin lips, beaked nose, and hard and repellent cast of countenance. And all 5 displayed, planted on enormous neck and shoulders, the same small head with the low forehead, thin lips, beaked nose, and hard and repellent cast of countenance. They were feared and disliked by all around them. They were a money-grubbing, crafty family, and their word was not to be trusted. On reaching the old barbican wall that surrounds the Héberville property, the farmer opened a narrow, massive door, putting the big key back in his pocket after his sons had passed in. And he walked behind them, along the path that led through the orchards. Here and there stood great trees, stripped by the autumn winds, and clumps of pines, the last survivors of the ancient park now covered by old Goussot's farm. One of the sons said, "I hope Mother has lit a log or two."
"There's smoke coming from the chimney," said the father.
The outhouses and the homestead showed at the end of a lawn, and above them the village church, whose steeple seemed to prick the clouds that trailed along the sky.
"All the guns unloaded?" asked old Goussot.
"Mine isn't," said the eldest. "I slipped in a bullet to blow a kestrel's head off."
He was the one who was proudest of his skill. And he said to his brothers, "Look at that bough at the top of the cherry tree. See me snap it off." On the bough sat a scarecrow, which had been there since spring and which protected the leafless branches with its idiot arms. He raised his gun and fired. The figure came tumbling down with large comic gestures and was caught on a big lower branch where it remained lying stiff on its stomach with a great top hat on its head of rags and its hay-stuffed legs swaying from right to left above some water that flowed past the cherry tree through a wooden trough. They all laughed. The father approved.
"Fine shot, my lad. Besides, the old boy was beginning to annoy me. I couldn't take my eyes from my plate at meals without catching sight of that oaf."
They went a few steps further. They were not more than 30 yards from the house when the father stopped suddenly and said,
"Hello, what's up?"
The sons also had stopped and stood listening. One of them said, under his breath,
"Comes from the house, from the linen room."
And another spluttered,
"Sounds like moans. And Mother's alone."
Suddenly, a frightful scream rang out. All 5 rushed forward. Another scream, followed by cries of despair.
"We're here! We're coming!" shouted the eldest, who was leading.
And, as it was a roundabout way to the door, he smashed in a window with his fist and sprang into the old people's bedroom. The room next to it was the linen room, in which Mother Goussot spent most of her time.
"Damnation," he said, seeing her lying on the floor with blood all over her face. "Dad! Dad!"
"What? Where is she?" roared old Goussot, appearing on the scene. "Good Lord! What's this? What have they done to your mother?"
She pulled herself together and, with outstretched arms, stammered,
"Run after him! This way! This way! I'm all right, only a scratch or two, but run! He's taken the money!"
The father and sons gave a bound.
"He's taken the money?" bellowed old Goussot, rushing to the door to which his wife was.